Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Mitch Richmond, Jeremy Lin, Joey Devine, Venice Dembo, Nick Young, Sean Keen, Earl Barron, Orlando Woolridge, James Flight White, Patreons, Drake Campbell, thank you Drake, Charles Crabtree, thank you Chucky Krabs, Sasha, thank you Sasha, musical guest Lily Tomlin as Purvis Hawkins, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. That's right, March Madness is over. Alumni March Madness. Well, we still have a Final Four to figure out, but we'll be doing that later. But today is just a regular old episode of Round Ball Rock. I'm here with America's Uncle Dad, America's purveyor of the number one comedy album on iTunes, Sean Keen. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Doing well. First day of the baseball season, Joey.
Oh, are you? Are you so excited for it? You are going to bet $4.5 million on a shady offshore book that you're the player that you're a translator for is eventually going to have to pay off.
That is exactly right. And he has no knowledge of it. He's never bet on anything.
Yeah, he's. I mean, I will say, look, their story has changed several thousand times. I don't think that's probably the case, but Shohei Ohtani does not seem cool enough to know how to bet on sports.
That is a good point. Do you think he was, remember when he judiciously gave out details about his private life, like his dog's name?
And then people like, my wife is a Japanese woman.
Yeah, and everyone's like, wow, that's incredible. And then finally we're like, come clean about the bets. The answer is you don't open the door. You don't let anyone know what your dog's name is. Then they can't ask you anything else. We've blown it. We keep blowing our cover on this.
Yeah, by letting maybe that's know why.
Oh, you know what it is though? The reason he wouldn't give up his wife's name or his dog's name is that he was concerned about his bank passwords. That's what's been going on this whole time. That's how he got hacked. It was like, name of your first pet. And Tommy's like, yeah, name of your wife. Is she name the country she's from and her gender? Those are standard bank passwords.
I actually heard her name was Parlay. All right. Sean, we should say right off the bat before we get started here. Happy birthday, Rick Barry, the Mike Love of the National Basketball Association.
Happy 104th birthday, buddy.
Have I called Rick Barry the Mike Love of the NBA before?
Because I don't know
that
if you have.
That's a little too on the nose, frankly. Mm-hmm.
He has relatives who have succeeded in the NBA. Wears a very, very self-conscious about losing his hair.
Couldn't you see Rick Barry wearing one of those fake hats that makes him look like a Navy veteran?
Oh, 100%. I mean, he'd go like, 100%. He would do that. Talk about how, it's just fun. It's not that he doesn't want anyone to know his ball. It's fun for everybody else that he does that.
And because it's Rick Barry's birthday, I should, of course, play this, the greatest moment in NBA history.
I know Mick Jagger won't be here tonight. He's going to have to stay in England. But I'd like to see us in the Coliseum and he in Wembley Stadium, because he's always been chicken shit to get on stage with the Beach Boys.
I'm sorry, that was Mike Love. No. Hold on. Here's Rick Barry.
Hey, one second here. Come on, people. You fans are the greatest fans in the world. As everybody said that. Show a little bit of class. This is crazy. Seriously. Come on. You're doing yourself a disservice. All of the wonderful accolades being said to you, for you to treat this man who is spending his money to do the best that he can to turn this franchise around. And I know he's going to do it. So give him the respect he deserves.
It's the best part when he says, and I know he's going to do it.
I will say, Rick Barry, don't get petulant and refuse to blow out your candles because your family members didn't back you in a pickleball fight. That's what Rick Barry did to lose the 1976 Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm. Which is really crazy, because the year, 2 years before, his coach literally fought a guy for Rick Barry, but they
and
were
got
so,
ejected from yeah. the game.
But they
what
were
else
so
do you need, Rick Barry?
But they were so sick of him by the next year. Even his coach was like, "I'm not going to fight for that guy."
How many times does Al Addles have to fight someone? Like, your coach fighting a guy? It's never happened in NBA history, and he's still like, "Well, I'm not going to shoot if they're not going to." But me and a 42-win team or something went to the NBA Finals.
The funny thing about that area of the Golden State Warriors, don't forget, is not only did Al Addles, the coach, get ejected from a finals game for fist fighting a player, earlier that season, I believe, Bill King, the Warriors play-by-play man, is still the only play-by-play man in history to get a technical called on him. So a lot of people who weren't on the team fighting for Rick Barry.
Yes.
All right, Sean, we've got a lot of weird news I would describe today's show.
Yeah. I want to add, we do not endorse Lily Tomlin wearing blackface as R&B singer Purvis Hawkins, but you know, booked on the show. Female to male blackface drag. We're okay with a lot of that, but think again.
We do like when she sits in that big chair though and pretends to be a child on Sesame
Just
Street.
Not in blackface.
Yeah. We also like that terrible character she does where she's like a phone operator in the 1930s.
Yeah. Which was, she's transgressive. That's all I want to say. We're anti-Purvis Hawkins. Sorry. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. trust the process.
All right, Sean. Our first story is Draymond Green caused Steph Curry to have like one of the strangest emotional roller coasters I've ever seen a human being have on a basketball court.
Yes. So Draymond got ejected 3 minutes and 36 seconds into a game against the Orlando Magic that he was definitely really interested in playing all of. Wasn't trying to get kicked out at all. He argued and he got a technical, and then Steve Kerr called a timeout and security personnel went on the floor and like four different Warriors went on the floor to separate Draymond and the ref. And Draymond still got a second technical and got kicked out. And then Steph Curry appeared to be overcome with emotion. I think he was crying, right?
He covered his face. He was definitely crying.
And then after the game, he...
Hold on. Then the Warriors pull out the game and he hits like a game, you know, a game ceiling three-pointer. Does typical Steph Curry joyful night-night celebration, but then, as if a switch was flipped inside of him, gets furious and kicks a chair.
Yeah. He has been kicking chairs recently. He kicked a chair in January, too.
This one.
Well, he kind of stomped him.
Yeah.
And it looked like it would have been dangerous, except... like the game wasn't well attended or people had already started leaving. I don't know if the Magic have like a really passionate in arena fan base. I might be wrong about that, but he kicked two chairs.
Yeah. He got really mad after winning the game and then kicked the chair. Yeah. And then, Draymond was, really annoying about it. I gotta say the coverage of Steph Curry's emotions in this game felt excessive in that, like, I don't know what random local Warriors Orlando game. They have all this crazy footage that's just filming him when crying when Draymond gets kicked out. And then in the end, in the locker room, there's video of him and Draymond hugging him and looking menacing like he has, like, the end of the Thriller music video.
Yeah. kind of hugged him. Like, why do they have those?
Like, I don't remember I've seen locker room footage. You know what I'm saying?
I think that was a phone video, though.
I don't know. Either way. It seemed like there was a lot of just isolated emotion coverage in this game.
Well, Joey, Orlando is the home of Disney World, the Dream Factory, and they can Imagineer any kind of emotional coverage they want.
And then did you see Draymond's tweet after the game, Sean?
No, I just saw his presser. What was his quote after the game?
His tweet after the game was...
His tweet after the game, sorry.
Great dub, all caps. Appreciate my dogs holding it down. On to the next one. Bounce back.
Great. Draymond said, hold on, he had a press conference. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from the Draymond Green show. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Of course. He said, it just can't happen. I said what I said. I deserve to be kicked out at that point. If I'm all the way honest with y'all, which I'm not sure he's all the way honest on this podcast, Joey. Kind of was trying to turn my body an angle to go to the bench, but I said too soon. Come on. He said, I'm not going to overreact. Stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. Mm-hmm. And my position is to make sure that's the exception and not the rule. That's definitely the exception because he didn't do anything questionable the game before against the Miami Heat, did he?
Oh, no, he definitely did. He's been walking a line for a while where it seems like he's about to get kicked out.
But he didn't, like, grab anyone by the neck or
anything. No, he did.
Oh,
yeah, he did.
Oh. But that's clearly the earliest he's been kicked out of a game this year, right? 3 minutes and 36 seconds into a game, a game that was 6-6.
No, I don't think it is, Sean.
He got kicked out in the second minute of the game against the Timberwolves, and no one had scored yet.
Yeah.
So if you're counting, he's missed. He's just sat for, I believe, 25 games. And then he's been kicked out in the first minutes of the first quarter in two games.
Yeah.
And then he's been kicked out early in the third quarter of two different games. That was for one of them was for shoving Donovan Mitchell, and one of them was for hitting Yusuf Nurkic in the face.
Yeah.
So considering suspensions and ejections, that's 20 full games. That might be. Do you think Dennis Rodman has ever missed that much time because of ejections and suspensions in a season?
I don't think so, no.
Draymond is now second on the all-time career ejections list. Joey, who do you think is first?
Rasheed Wallace.
That's correct. He's not even close to Rasheed. By the way, guess who considered himself a Draymond mentor in the mid-2000s?
Rasheed Wallace.
That's correct. That is correct.
But the difference between Draymond Green and Rasheed Wallace is Rasheed Wallace is cool.
You don't think Draymond's cool? Podcasting's not cool?
I don't think Draymond's cool. Look, Sean, this is not what we're talking about here, but did you hear LeBron James talking about chess on the JJ Redick podcast today?
No, I don't think LeBron plays chess.
Listen to this.
I play a lot of chess, not in real life. I've actually, you know, a lot of people have told me you should play chess because you'll be great. I've never played chess, but in my mind, in theory, I feel like I play chess on the floor.
Yeah.
So he's never played chess
once
in his life, but he leads that statement with, I play a lot of chess.
Yes, he thinks he'd be good at chess because of how he plays basketball.
I mean, yeah, I do want to hear it again.
I play a lot of chess.
Okay.
Not in real life. A lot of people have told me you should play chess because you'll be great. I've never played chess, but
in my mind, in theory, I feel
like I play chess on the floor.
Yeah.
You can tell JJ Redick's like, God damn it. I'm really financially committed to this right now. I can't really. Here's the thing. Get a chess app, LeBron. Put your money where your goddamn mouth is. Play Klay Thompson in chess.
Yeah, what's your ELO?
Klay plays chess.
I want to know your ELO. Thanks to Paternity Riley at Lester Freeman for posting that audio. It really helped me
out
because I was worried I was going to have to grab it.
Do you think if LeBron plays chess, he's also like whining about the timekeeping all the time and like somehow I don't know, there's no ref in chess. I can't finish this metaphor, but did you see that Anthony Davis committed his first foul in double overtime of their game against the Bucks, even though he was guarding Giannis Antetokounmpo the whole game?
That's the fun thing about
the NBA.
The Bucks are not good right now, Sean.
I'm more thinking of the foul disparity
is so crazy for the
Lakers. It's like now even Lakers broadcasters are talking about it, but yet it's like kind of getting worse for other teams. It's amazing. Great league. Great league. Okay.
So, Sean, guess I should ask about back to Steph Curry.
Oh, yeah.
What was going on there? Emotionally, because like when Anthony Randolph cried, I knew why. It was because he was playing so well and then got hurt, and then also he hated Don Nelson. But why did Why did Steph Curry cry? Also, is it weird that my two favorite players ever have now cried on the court?
I mean, not really. I thought Anthony Randolph started crying because Yao Ming was destroying him.
No, that's a different game. He looks like he's crying in that game, but he was not crying. The game where he cries is because he was playing really well against the Lakers, and then he jumped up for a rebound and, like, flipped around Lamar Odom and hurt his shoulder.
Oh, yeah, he, like, really fouls Lamar on that play, I think.
Anyway.
So what was going on with Steph? I mean, he's... I think he might be a little frustrated with the... Draymond Green.
Yeah.
I just think that it's the combination of like playing a back-to-back. They didn't have Jonathan Kuminga, and Draymond basically intentionally gets himself kicked out less than 4 minutes into his game. Mm-hmm. And Steph was just looking forward to like, oh boy, I am going to have to be relying on Guy Santos in this game, which the Warriors did have to do. Joey, how do you think he did, that young Brazilian rookie?
Sometimes he plays okay.
Okay, so what do you think his plus minus was in the 6 minutes he was in the game? Bear in mind,
he only played six minutes. I'm going to guess like a minus eight.
Minus 16, Joey.
Jesus
minus 16.
Christ.
Yeah, so I would say maybe losing Draymond hurt them a little bit in that respect. I don't know. Actually, everybody on the team had a positive plus. Well, Chris Paul, obviously, was also a negative.
Chris Paul is playing too much.
He can't do anything anymore, Joey.
I gotta say, Steve Kerr is playing Chris Paul way too much.
You know who he could be playing? Brandon Podziemski. Plus 10 in 21 minutes. Chris Paul minus 6 and 17. I know single game plus minus is not the best indicator, but
I mean, he could also be playing Moses Moody.
Yeah. I mean, he did play Moses Moody a lot last night.
But, yeah, because Kuminga was out, but he'll only play one of them.
It's true. It's true. Well, he'll have plenty of playing time the next time Draymond gets ejected in a game he definitely wants to be on the court for and doesn't secretly want to retire from basketball, but he can't because he signed a long-term contract.
All right, Sean, we talked about Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
Let's talk about Michael Porter's brother before we talk about the baseball thing we need to talk about. Sean, Jonte Porter is under investigation.
Yes.
So for DraftKings prop bets.
DraftKings props fraud. Yes. Mm-hmm. It is perhaps the most exciting thing that has happened regarding the Toronto Raptors since the trade deadline, unless you care about them retaining the rights to Marquise Noel on his return to Raptors 905. So what happened was there were two games where there was an unusual amount of activity about Jonte Porter, Michael Porter's brother's prop bets. And specifically, there was a lot of action on his unders with some bettors trying to wager like $20,000 on props. That is generally far over the limit on props because of this stuff. And in one of the games, Jonte Porter left and claimed he had re-aggravated an eye injury from earlier in the week. And the other game, he left very early because he had a unspecified illness. He went under on his props. I think he took one shot in those games combined. And
he left
the
both
eye
games with injury. Yeah, yeah.
Well, one of them was injured. One of them was because of an illness. They didn't say what it was. And he was perfectly fine 2 days later. However, he couldn't just sit out of the games because otherwise those prop bets would have been null. And DraftKings even advertised them afterwards in their little memo as the top moneymakers of the night. So, Joey, what do you think is the real lesson here?
Well, first off, I want to say off the bat, I kind of think this is cool. Like, this to me, like, it's not cool. Gambling's bad, blah, blah, blah. But this is DraftKings' fault for offering props based for Jaunte Porter.
He is on a two-way deal. He's making $415,000 a year. Yeah.
Also, the funniest thing about this is, Sean, have you seen Jaunte Porter's Discord?
No, I saw he has like a burner. It's not even a burner. He's not like he's not pretending it's not him, but he has a second Twitter account that's just devoted to.
It's a company he has called Tay Trades, where he has a Discord that he gives gambling and stock tips on.
Yeah,
was giving gambling tips on Jaunte Porter prop bets.
Wait, he was giving tips on his own props?
Yes, that's why they caught him. Because many people gambled on this.
Well, I mean,
so much.
Oh, I thought it was more, I thought it was more secretive than that.
No,
I know he has I know he founded a tech firm that gives you stock tips. I didn't know I didn't realize he had like an upfront one.
It's a Discord called Tay Trades. And in it, so there was one you had to pay him money to get in private.
That's his firm, yeah.
Yeah, like in the Discord, there was a private one where he would give tips. But in the public one, after these games, in the public part of the Discord, everyone was thanking him for giving him, for getting them money.
So this is just part of what he's... I didn't know this, so yeah, So basically, here are some other things that Jaunte Porter has done. Here's a tweet from January 8th, 2021. Just got access back to my account. I'm sorry to everyone who fell for the PS5 scam. I'm hearing you can report it to your bank or Cash App and they're refunding? If not, please DM me and I will do my best to help everyone. So he pretended to be hacked and was pretending to sell PS5s. He also claimed that he once turned 5K into 100K trading. And he also said that he'd turned 50K into 200K in a couple of days. Nothing suspicious about that for making those kind of stock profits as a side hustle, clearly. So, and he has a firm which you can pay him money and he'll give you stock trades and they promise maybe not the most believable rates of return on the stock market. So I 100% believe he was throwing props for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, he's probably cheating and scamming with cryptocurrency and possibly insider trading. And I will say Michael Porter, his brother, defended him, but kind of didn't. So let me read you his quote. He says, "I know Jaunte loves the game of basketball. You know, he's really excited to play. He's really excited to play for the Raptors. I've known my brother my whole life. I know what type of dude he is. And I know he's excited to play basketball. And I highly doubt he would do anything to put that in jeopardy." That's not really a defense. He just said he's excited about playing basketball four times and then said, well, I doubt he'd do something to risk that. But that's not like at all a denial or like my brother never bets. And instead, he actually seems very, very interested in sports gambling.
Yeah.
And stock gambling. Also, Michael Porter himself, as we know, he likes to, I mean, I guess that's not, is that gambling if you're playing a game for money? I guess it is. Like if you're playing NBA 2K for money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're taking a child's shoes.
Yeah, he took a child's shoes.
Yeah.
For his graduation Jordans.
Yeah.
And then acknowledged that he couldn't. Now, I will say there was somebody who escaped Michael Porter's 2K hustling. And so I would say if you bet the over on a Jontay Porter prop bet, just run out of your apartment before DraftKings can collect the money from you. Run down the street. So
well, that would be the under. It would be the under, Sean.
So
if you bet the over on a Jontay Porter prop bet, you're a true sick freak.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You would have lost them. Yeah. You have to run away if you lose them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah. But yeah, you're a sicko if you're betting on either way. I mean, unless you know it's a sure thing because you are a member of Tay Trades
Discord.
Whatever the country code for Sierra Leone is. They're headquartered in Tuvalu. All right.
Anyway, do you think
his career is over, right?
Here's my question, though. Do you think any of these other two-way guys have done this only smarter and not told everyone?
I don't know. It's pretty rare to see like a two-way guy leave a game after like a minute or two. Like usually those guys are pretty psyched to get court time.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yes, you definitely could do that. That is certainly, and I mean, I could see it. It's just, I think it's tough to like make that much. It's why things like there's always people saying like, what if the anthem singer, you know, bet really big on the anthem and slowed it down? It's like, well, that's why you can't bet very much money on the length of the national anthem at the Super Bowl. And it's kind of the same way with prop bets, I think.
Yeah. It's like those, that lie that comes out every year on the, after the Super Bowl, where it's like, this guy bet $100,000 that there would be a streaker at the Super Bowl.
Oh,
and then he streaked.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't bet that much. also,
you wouldn't be able to collect. It's a casino. They, like, well, a casino has to be completely fair. I mean, if there was a reasonable doubt, they'd just have to pay him those winnings, right? Like, no, they. It's a casino. Okay. We got one more.
Okay. Let's talk about him.
The owner, Glenn Taylor, announced today that the Timberwolves and the Lynx are not for sale.
Well, I have bad news, Timberwolves fans. You are somehow going to miss the playoffs now. I don't know how it's going to happen. But the good things that were happening to you were happening because Glenn Taylor didn't own your team anymore.
Now, in fairness, it's hard to say that the presence of Alex Rodriguez is going to lead to postseason success. That's hasn't been like a great bet.
It does lead to regular season success, though. Some of the greatest regular season success.
That's true. That is true. Here is how I understand what happened. In 2020, Alex Rodriguez and his then fiance Jennifer Lopez were part of a group that was trying to buy the New York Mets, and they went with Steve Cohen, billionaire Steve Cohen.
Has that worked out for them?
It doesn't. It hasn't really been that great for the Mets so far. They've spent a lot of money.
They've signed a lot of former Oakland A's.
They really have. That part is like they had Mark Canha, Starling Marte, and Chris Bassett. They have more.
Cole Irvin too, right? No, not
Cole Irvin. That's right.
Yeah.
There's probably more that I'm not thinking of. Well, they also have guys who are like spiritually Oakland A's who weren't actually on the team, like Daniel Vogelbach.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's basically like this generation's Matt Stairs. Mm-hmm. I mean, not as cool, but you know. Same
Sean
vibe.
Monet is on the A's right now. I mean, on the Mets right now.
Yeah.
Shintaro Fujinami on the Mets.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a lot. So they weren't able to buy it. So the next year, Alex Rodriguez and his partner, Mark Lohr, the founder of diapers.com. they made a bid to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves. And so basically the way the deal was structured is they had to make a down payment and then they had, I think, a second payment. Basically, the team was valued at $1.5 billion and they were buying it in like 20% increments. And then the beginning of this year was when Lohr and A-Rod were going to take over and make their final payment of, I'm not sure if they were making a $300 million payment. Yeah, it is a $300 million payment that was due that would have let the, which would have given them 60% ownership of the team. Today, Glenn Taylor announced that their 90-day window to make that payment had expired and that now the Timberwolves and Lakers were no longer for sale. And A-Rod and his partner disputed that and said that they had the money lined up. So there are two parts of this, I would say. One of them is that Glenn Taylor might have just backed out because he thinks his team is worth more than $1.5 billion now.
I actually think he has FOMO and thinks they're going to win this year. I mean, that's honestly awesome. Think that's what this is all about. Also, yeah. By the way, Sean, Jake Dykeman, also Diekman, also on the Mets.
Wow. Pretty amazing. The Alameda to Queens pipeline is running strong. So he might have backed out because he likes the winning team. He might have backed out because he can probably sell the team for, I would say, more than that probably now. Mm-hmm. Especially if there's some weird casino magnate who wants to try to legalize gambling in Minneapolis or something. I don't know. The Suns went for $4 billion. The Mavericks were valued at $3.5 billion. So he might have done that. There has not been a story yet that Alex Rodriguez, apparently, like, they could have gotten an extension and they've had extensions and they've had trouble before. I don't know that Glenn Taylor has made Alex Rodriguez look him in the eye and promise to come up with the money like he did for Andrew Wiggins and playing defense. It also sounds like Alex Rodriguez doesn't really have enough cash to do this by himself. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's very rich. But apparently he owns a lot of real estate. He does not necessarily have a lot of liquid wealth. And every time he was having meetings with investors and bankers, he would do it while J-Lo was there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this was officially on the books, but everybody basically had the impression that they were getting both. Mm-hmm. Because they both tried to buy the Mets. Ben Affleck may have thrown a rod into the wheels here. Handsome Ben Affleck from the way back, the announcer from the 2023 Celebrity All-Star Game, the guy who looked like he got wasted during a replay review of a Lakers-Warriors game a week ago. He stole her heart. They got married, and A-Rod suddenly is not able to come up with that much money. Apparently, for the first installment, he was only able to pay 7% of the price of the team rather than the 10%, and diapers.com covered him. And then like 2 weeks ago, they were supposed to get funded by this private equity firm called the Carlyle Group, who I think for some reason is involved with Taylor Swift conspiracy theories about Joe Biden and Travis Kelce and the Super Bowl being rigged. I think the Carlyle Group is actually her enemy. I think they actually invested in the company that's the shady company that made her re-record all her albums to get the masters back. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, the NBA only lets private equity firms buy 20% of a team for now. And sovereign wealth funds of countries like Qatar can only buy 5%. And it sounded like the NBA tried to figure out that deal and it didn't work. And then they got new financing, and either it kind of sounds like they just didn't make the deadline to me. Mm-hmm. And Glenn Taylor probably in a more good faith negotiation would say like, well, we are talking about $300 million. It doesn't really matter if it comes in March 27th right. or March 30th. But also, A-Rod probably not really rich enough to mm-hmm. own like 30% of an NBA team.
Right what now. I like about this story is both mm-hmm. Glenn Taylor and A-Rod look bad.
Yeah. Yeah, they both look bad.
And the diapers.com guy.
Yeah. Doesn't he have more diaper money to throw in there?
Yeah.
But it does. Part of it is that the NBA just doesn't let you have like Jay-Z ownership shares anymore. Mm-hmm. Like if you had them before, like that guy who hit Kyle Lowry, I think owns like 0.25% of the Warriors or something.
Right.
But now to be a primary owner, I think you have to like actually pay for 15% of the team. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that Alex Rodriguez necessarily has like a liquid $200 million. I mean, who does? He's he did steroids and cheated at baseball, but that's not nearly the level of evil you need to have to amass NBA owner money. You need to be like funding a militia to destroy democracy, or like, you know, drilling for oil in a pristine reserve, or, you know, like, your family needed to be heavily involved in the slave trade 200 years ago. Like that's the kind of money you need. Like junk bonds, you know, like arms sales, evil yeah. stuff, pyramid schemes. So A-Rod, I'm sorry, you're actually too pure of heart to own an NBA team. And also Affleck, you did it again, buddy.
Sean, question for you. What's more embarrassing? A-Rod not being able to buy this basketball team mm-hmm. or everything Derek Jeter has done with the Marlins?
Oh, Jeter's way more embarrassing. he has that embarrassing commercial, too, where he pretends that he drives.
Pretends he's a family? That's the weirdest part. All of that is all that entire commercial is embarrassing, but the part that, like, tries to reframe him as a family man where uh-huh. he like drives home to his wife and kids.
Yeah.
It's like, is this his second family?
Yeah. You know what I mean? that famously one of the most promiscuous men in the history of Western civilization. Suddenly it's like, oh no, he's taking a minivan home. That's like the only reason Derek Jeter does that. If he's like, been banned from an airline for having sex with, like, having an orgy in the bathroom or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's where he's on a no-fly list, you know?
That minivan is full of gift bags for all the women
yeah.
he is having affairs with.
Yeah, and he's just stopping in rest stops all along the way for different yeah. sexual liaisons. They just had to cut those out of the commercial.
Yeah. Well, Sean, I'm serious when I say I was very high on the Timberwolves, and mm-hmm. now I am much, much lower on the Timberwolves.
Yeah, this is not a great thing to have happen either way. Like,
so because what happens to what's his face now?
Ipers?
Tim Connelly, because they hired him, offering him like ownership stake.
Well, it's funny because they're like locked into the worst position possible now, where they've now spent like $500 million on this team that they have no control over now. So they're like, they have like a $500 or $600 million passive investment now, which is wild.
Right. But part of hiring Tim Connelly was giving him ownership, right? Like a percentage of ownership in the Wolves. Does Glenn Taylor give him that now? How does that work?
I mean, I think he just maybe got a lot of money. I don't. Oh, hold on. So they hired him I don't know how much equity he... You're right. He did get equity. let's see. Yeah, I don't know how much he gets, but I assume... Does Glenn Taylor have to honor that, though?
Like,
yeah, he already got it.
Wow.
I mean, they... I assume, since he was so heavily recruited by Diaper Man... I mean, I think that's how he made his money. I'm sure he's done like worse stuff than that, but I believe that's the main thing. He was the president and CEO of Walmart e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a company called Jet.com, which was a different e-commerce website. And then his old company was called Quidsy, and the main website was Quidsy. Q-U-I-D-S-I.
Oh, of course it's an I. All right,
and he sold it to, he sold it for a lot of money to Amazon. And then he wants to build a city of the future.
Where is he building the city of the future?
It's called Telosa. It's supported by a reformed version of capitalism called effective altruism.
Oh, okay. He's an effective altruist guy? He's a Sam Bankman-Fried guy? Wait, how is buying the Minnesota Timberwolves altruistic then?
Let's see. Well, so when he resigned from Walmart in 2021, he expressed the desire to construct a city of the future based on a reformed version of capitalism. His design philosophy is equitism. It's a new model for society where wealth is created in a fair way. It's not burdening the wealthy. It's not increasing taxes. Of course it's not.
Yeah.
It's just giving back to the citizens and people the wealth that they helped create. He hired a firm. It's supposed to be a 15-minute city. Well, that's good. That's Matt Bonner's gonna move there. The city will not allow vehicles powered by fossil fuels, walkability, and the use of scooters, bicycle, and don't worry, autonomous electric vehicles, which never cause a problem. Anyway, there's going to be a big skyscraper called the Equitism Tower
Space
for water storage, aeroponic farms. And then the land ownership is based on Georgia's principles, which means anyone would be licensed to build, keep, or sell a home, and residents would share ownership of the land. They still haven't chosen a site for this. It's going to be a cheap desert land, so it'll either be in Utah, Idaho, Nevada, or possibly Appalachia.
Sean, are we gonna move there?
They want to have 5 million people by 2050.
Will they pay us to move there?
You know, they're gonna have a lot more money now that they don't have to spend all this money on the Timberwolves. Telosa might be popping off. Anyway, you can learn more about Telosa by going to cityoftelosa.com.
You can also learn more about Telosa by watching Snowpiercer on TNT.
Everybody has the opportunity for unlimited growth. How are they going to do this?
Bugs. They're going to feed the poor people bugs.
We're going to feed them. All right, Joey, it's the Sweet 16 this weekend. I'm going to give you a Sweet 16 set of questions.
Okay.
We'll kind of race through these out. Exactly.
16's a lot.
16's a lot. Okay, here we go. Joey, number one, what NBA team would you most want backing you up in a physical fight?
The Heat.
Yeah.
Mainly because I want to see Duncan Robinson get punched.
I also feel like maybe it's the Nuggets because I feel like Jokic would really wreck shop.
And brothers.
Also, What's that?
You get those brothers.
You get those brothers, yeah. And Aaron Gordon probably gets punched in the face. So that's that's the other bonus for me. I think DeAndre Jordan would also be a real wrecking crew. Like, I think he's one of those guys that, like, never fights, and then you push him over the edge, and he's a real brawler. Okay, question number two. Is Nick Nurse secretly hoping that Joel Embiid doesn't come back this year so the playoff loss won't hurt him?
Yes, that's the Sixers' entire Sixers grift.
Yeah,
you always push the blame onto somebody else.
Yeah, pushing everything forward. That's actually also how equitism works.
Yeah,
it's like a success pyramid scheme. I mean, that was like the Hinkie thing too. It's like, we just won't make any decisions for a long time. Okay, Joey,
Wes Anderson. It's like effective selfishness.
Yeah, effective selfishness. That's very good. Yeah. Okay. If director Wes Anderson made a movie inspired by one of this year's NBA teams, who would he choose?
The Knicks.
Well, yeah, he would probably do that.
Like Tibbs he'd turn Tibbs into like a Royal Tenenbaum figure.
Yeah.
And then there'd be like a whole series of flashbacks of all those guys in college together.
Yeah, but Villanova like would be like stuff. The school from Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, exactly. Instead.
Yeah. That's good. I also could see him doing a movie about the Washington Wizards season.
Also,
where it's like the flip side of Fantastic Mr. Fox, and that's Jordan Poole.
Man, did you see Alex Caruso lose his mind on Jordan Poole? That rocked.
Wild. I mean, what a season this guy's having.
But the other reason...
Arguably the worst contract in the NBA, Joey.
The other reason I picked the Knicks is... I think Dante DiVincenzo is the only player Jason Schwartzman could sort of play. You just put him in a red wig.
Well, I think that's a good role for him to bring back Mason Gamble from Rushmore and Dennis the Menace. I think he could make a good Dante. Okay, number four, Joey. The Replacements once got really drunk on Saturday Night Live, changed clothes for no reason, and then got banned from the show because of how crazy their second song was. What is the NBA playoffs equivalent of this, and which team this year is most likely to do it?
I mean, the NBA playoff equivalent of this... I'll tell you, I don't even know what the equivalent is, but I will tell you the team most likely to do it is the Sacramento Kings. Because I could see them... I'm not feeling good about them this year, Sean, and I could see them sort of exploding and not appearing in the playoffs again for 25 years.
Wow. Well, I could see that, like, maybe they get a little too drunk on that crazy... What's his name? Vinkakov?
What was that?
I've never learned how to say their... Vezenkov. Vezenkov.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, shout out to JaVale McGee for visiting a lifelike robot factory, a very JaVale McGee thing to do, and bringing with him Kevin Herter, because of course that would also be a good Wes Anderson movie if it was just set at the robot factory and didn't really involve basketball at all. I could see the Atlanta Hawks doing that in a play-in game and it's like kind of Quinn Snyder's fault because he also got like real crazy and Trae Young isn't even playing. And he's like, wow,
Sean, though, let's be honest. It's Draymond Green.
It's Draymond Green.
Like
he gets kicked out and he tries to come back in a Corey Joseph jersey,
like punching a ref and then never appearing in a game again.
Yeah, that could actually happen.
Yeah.
He could be banned from the NBA forever. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Question number five. I think this is five. Mm-hmm. In a Pelicans Clippers series, that's a very likely first round, Joey, is Pelicans Clippers. Mm-hmm. Which team do you believe in less?
The Pelicans. I don't believe it still boggles my mind that the Pelicans are like the fifth seed or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how. Like, Zion is, like, still a pretend NBA player. They have CJ McCollum. Like, I just don't... The Clippers have Kawhi Leonard.
They do have Kawhi Leonard.
Who... Russell Westbrook has played well in the playoffs before.
That's true. That's true. I will say congratulations to Kawhi Leonard for playing his 65th game of the season and becoming award eligible. Congratulations, buddy. And he did have a good quote earlier this year when someone asked, you know, how are you playing so many games? And he said, well, you know, I didn't tear my ACL.
Uh-huh.
I'm not recovering from a torn ACL anymore. Ooh, that's a really good point.
Ty Lue is their coach.
Okay. Is it possible that the New Orleans Pelicans would fail to get to 4 wins playing an intra-squad scrimmage in the playoffs?
Well, no, because whichever team with Jonas Valanciunas wins one game. Right.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's
right.
How it works in the playoffs. Jonas Valanciunas has like 60 points in one playoff game for some reason. And everyone was like, wow, this guy's really good.
Yeah. All right. What's the NBA playoffs version of the Trump Biden rematch? Like a contest that no one really wants to see again, but we're maybe heading for again.
Suns Bucks.
Ooh. Yeah, those are two pretty annoying teams.
Even though they're kind of not the same teams anymore, I just don't think people would be pumped for that series.
I was kind of thinking maybe the Lakers and the Warriors in a play-in again.
No, because people love that.
Yeah, and the Lakers are a little bit too good, I think.
I don't think the Lakers are good.
I mean, they're pretty watchable.
If you like the foul disparity.
I mean, America does, honestly. What about Heat Nuggets?
I mean, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. You know what it would be? I think actually Celtics Sixers. I feel like that's a bummer.
That one is bad for sure.
Just like for a lot of reasons, it's a bummer. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Heat Sixers also bad, by the way.
Yeah, but they haven't like.
I know.
But... Yeah, they haven't played quite as many times. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay. Joey, this is some royal family news.
Mm-hmm.
Should the Nets hire the Buckingham Palace PR department and start just photoshopping Ben Simmons into practice photos
to make it
seem like he's playing basketball?
They could do that with AI, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, what if it turns out that Ben Simmons secretly has had cancer this whole time and we're all assholes for making fun of him?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I would be surprised.
He's
got something
it's such a bummer. Yeah, exactly. But that's what I mean. It's like he makes me so sad already. Like, I would not be surprised to be even sadder.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay. All right. Jake Paul is going to fight Mike Tyson. If the NBA did an equivalent to this, not a fight, it would be in the confines of the sport. Who would play Jesser one-on-one?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, my God. Yes. I don't think Jesser could handle Shaq.
I don't think so.
Old hip replacement Shaq. I think Jesser's in trouble. All right.
Right. Shaq is the Mike Tyson equivalent. In like just dominance. Yeah, yeah.
Dominance and like fun and like Shaq does do move. Like if Mike Tyson was a little less volatile, he would do more movies like Shaq does.
I mean,
Shaq's pretty easy to be like bonded, you know?
I sort of don't like that we all accepted Mike Tyson as really a fun guy. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Joey, do you remember when Reggie Miller and Spike Lee had that bet during the 94 conference finals? Joey, for our listeners who don't know, they bet, and if Spike Lee, if the Pacers won, Reggie Miller's then wife would get a role in Spike Lee's next movie. And if the Knicks won, Reggie Miller had to visit Mike Tyson in prison. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks won.
Yeah.
I would like to see like a one act play about that. However,
you know what would be funny in the Wes Anderson Knicks movie?
Yeah.
That he would have Jeffrey Wright play Spike Lee.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Ben Stiller could just play himself.
Yeah.
The most positive celebrity NBA fan in the world.
Yeah.
By the way, I love it. Ben Stiller, thumbs up.
Ben Stiller, go on Round Ball. You're one person I would actually talk to. We don't love having guests we don't know on the show, but you're one we would gladly accept.
Ben, my boss, even though you probably didn't realize I existed that entire time, but... I'm ready to go to work for you again, buddy. According to conservatives, Joey, Sydney Sweeney wearing a low-cut dress defeats wokeness, as did the film Oppenheimer, according to Elon Musk, because...
Oh, that's a movie about a socialist.
Yeah, well, I don't make the rules about the woke Olympics. Joey, what would it mean for wokeness if Kyle Lowry hit a game-winning shot for the Sixers and then did a press conference wearing skinny jeans?
Gamergate 2.
Gamergate.
I guess we're having Gamergate 2. It's Gamergate 3.
Gamergate 3. So that would it destroy wokeness or would it increase wokeness?
It would increase wokeness to the point that we'd get Gamergate 3.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, because people just wouldn't know how to handle that much ass, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because let's just be honest here. When they say Sydney Sweeney defeats wokeness, what they're saying is conservatives are not ass men.
Yes, yes, I guess that's a good, really good point. Okay, this is question 10. Joey, are the Wagners having the best teammate/brother season of all time?
Does brother-in-law count?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to say brother-in-law.
Then no.
You think the Curry-Damian Lee season is better?
I think any Curry-Damian Lee season is better for now.
Okay. Just Mo's been because, really good this year, though.
Yeah, no, that's they're all. Great. The Wagners are great, but it's hard to... Well, I don't know if they average out to like a top five player in the NBA.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because like Steph Curry was like a top five player in the NBA. Damian Lee was not good in any of those seasons, but you still the average of a top five guy and a fine guy, like a rotation player is probably like a top 20 guy. You know what I mean?
Do you think they're better than the season that Brooke and Robin Lopez had together in Milwaukee?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's kind of close too. That was a good season.
That is actually. That team won a lot of games.
Yeah.
And then Gerald and Dominique Wilkins played together one year. I think it was maybe both of their last years in the NBA. Uh-huh. And then we had a Justin and Aaron Holiday season one year together.
Well, then there was
Indiana.
The Markieff Marcus season was also really
good. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was, and that was like 2 years. But
they got them paid.
Paid, but in a weird way. Yeah, and then they got traded for beating up a guy in a parking lot. That's why they got traded, right? Or was that...
No, they just traded Marcus.
Oh, okay. that's okay. Great. Okay. Question 11. Joey, Steve Kerr took Steph Curry out of a game against the Minnesota Timberwolves for 11 full minutes. Does Steve Kerr have a problem with object permanence, meaning that he forgets guys and exists when they're out of his field of vision?
Yes, that's absolutely
something that happens to babies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It happens. I think if you play peekaboo with Steve Kerr, he thinks the world doesn't exist.
Yeah, he did that with Jonathan Kuminga as well this year. So yeah, he does it a lot
with Jonathan Kuminga still. Yeah.
And he's like, Jonathan Kuminga, definitely
the team's third best player. And it'll be like, he did not come back in the game until 90 seconds left in the game.
And Curtis is like, that's on me.
Yeah.
Okay, Joey, who's getting fired first, Doc Rivers or Nick Nurse?
Nick Nurse.
I think he is, too. I think it's
But I only think it's because the Bucks are cheap. I don't think they want to pay another coach.
Yeah, the Sixers will be more aggressive. And yeah, I think they don't really care about like paying the former coach, you know?
I mean, Daryl Morey certainly doesn't care. Yeah.
Okay, Joey. You've watched the new Roadhouse.
Yeah, it rocks. Even though, speaking of bad guys that we're rehabilitating, even though Conor McGregor is in it and he also can barely speak or walk or do anything, the new Roadhouse is awesome and I loved it.
Well, Joey, Sean, I haven't seen it yet. I'm planning to watch it this weekend. I have to go down to Santa Maria for Easter. I believe I'm going. I've specifically invited my fiance to do a girls' day or a girls' night with her mom, and my whole plan is to watch the Jake
of
the new Roadhouse at the house, because I will not be watching that with her. It's not really an Emily movie.
I don't know why he loved it. Anyway, keep going.
Maybe we'll watch it together. Okay, what three NBA players, past and present, would be most likely to start trouble at Jake G's Roadhouse?
Okay. I mean, you have to take the GOAT of bar troubles in NBA history. Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Once threw a man through a plate glass window, got a DUI. You know, he's bar trouble, you know? He's a great guy. You love having him around, but sometimes there's trouble.
It's the whole reason you need a bouncer.
I think the person most likely to be the bad guy in a Roadhouse movie is Michael Jordan. You know, like he lost a bet there or something, and now he's sending Charles Oakley down to just smash the tables every night.
Yeah.
I think that's the answer. It's Barkley. It's Barkley, Mike, Oakley, and Jordan. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like that. Okay. All right. Question 14. We are flying through this. We talked about him earlier.
I will say the most Roadhouse injury in NBA history is when Tony Parker got glass in his eye because Drake and Chris Brown were throwing champagne bottles at each other at that
club. That's a very Roadhouse injury. Yeah. All right. Great. Okay. So we talked about him earlier. This is a very Joey specific question. Shohei Ohtani. We're going to say obviously he denied having anything to do with gambling, but do you think he might play the slots? And if he did, Joey, what Las Vegas slot machines would Ohtani be most happy with?
Okay, Shark Drawn Week.
Shark Week.
I think he'd like the Shark Week slot machine. It's big. Weird things happen. It's sort of like hitting a home run in that you never win Shark Week on a regular slot pull, but then all of a sudden it'll just be like, Shark Alert! And then a bunch of sharks will eat your reels and then you win. I think, weirdly, I think he'd be a Little Shop of Horrors guy, too.
Whoa, okay.
You've seen the Little Shop of Horrors machine.
I have. I'm not as familiar with the Shark Week machine, but
I feel like he'd like the Little Shop of Horrors machine. There's sort of like a baseball feel to it, you know, the music's old-timey.
I get that.
I think those are the two that Shohei Ohtani would like. Sean, is there any other one you think he'd like?
I mean he likes
placing monster bets.
That's
his translator probably like monster bed. So maybe yeah, so Godzilla v. Kong.
I think that one would really speak to him. It's like loud, it's crazy, and you can make really reckless financial decisions.
I'll be honest, I didn't want to pick it because it's the Japanese slot machine.
I know, but you know? I get it. But I feel like there's more stereotypically Asian machines.
Oh, you know what? I think he'd like Mad Max Fury Road, too.
Oh, okay.
Like that Doof Warrior. That's like, it would remind him
Doof
of
Warrior's
like... It would remind him of, like, someone in his clubhouse, you know?
Well, and, like, himself in a little way, secretly. Yeah, yeah. He's like, I kind of feel like I'm a Doof Warrior.
Well, I'm a masked man who...
And he'd say it, like, real quietly, and people would say, what do you say, Shohan? He's like, nothing. It's kind of like my dad is a flaming guitar. And they're like, what? Okay. Two more, Joey. Which is the most respected NBA team that still thinks they're disrespected?
I mean, the Lakers. But
I don't think they really think they're disrespected.
This
though.
Is just whatever team Dame Lillard's on.
Yeah, I think it's the Bucks. Yeah, that's the amazing thing, because I think it was the Blazers and now it's the Bucks. The Bucks fans have somehow decided that like the league hates them and no one ever talks about them. It's very weird. Mm-hmm. They're like on TV all the time. I feel like people constantly talk about the Bucks, and yet the Bucks Twitter stuff I see is always like, well, yeah, if anyone noticed, Giannis Antetokounmpo's having a good year.
Well, then they're always like, oh, of course they're picking the one stat that Giannis isn't leading the league in to talk about winning MVP.
Yeah, and it's like, wait, what?
And it's like, you know, he got a coach fired midseason. I don't think he's going to win MVP.
Yeah, that's the main thing that's keeping him out of the argument. It's not that people don't think he's good, but I don't know. All right. And finally, Joey, this is just a one for you. The last one we have. How many players can you name who are still playing in March Madness right now?
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah,
that's it.
Well, Angel Reese is also playing, and that LSU coach still has not been indicted yet. So he will eventually be punished for her many crimes. Did you see her press conference where she preemptively denied a newspaper article that hasn't come out yet?
No, but that's amazing.
It's funny because she always like dresses like a divorced carnival barker trying to look hot. You know, it's always like a sequin jacket or something.
Uh-huh. This she dresses press conference... like she's like the mayor on Friday Night Lights.
Yes. Yeah, she's like, I feel like she's done some bad stuff to get to the position she's in. But yeah, for her press conference where she claimed she was hiring the world's best defamation lawyer.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that means. My favorite part of it was that she had like a simple team polo on. It's the first time she's dressed like a normal person in 15 years. And we're like, what happened? And she's like, oh, you can't dress like you're selling a medicinal powder on the back of a wagon.
Yeah,
when you're denying your criminality.
You can't dress like you're trying to fuck Edward Scissorhands when you're... denying that you are a wrongdoing.
Yeah. Yep. That's very good. That's a very good point.
All right, Sean, that's our episode. Are you...
All right, that was it. Those were your 16 sweet 16 questions. Great job, Joey. Thinking. Yep.
And yeah, that's our episode. Sean, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, you can see me at... I'll be at this... I don't know, man. I'll be on the TV Guidance Counselor podcast soon. I got some shows, you know, whatever. It doesn't really matter.
Watch We're our fine. Twitter. Sean will post his shows there.
I'll put them
Round
there.
Rock Pod. Which I didn't mention at the beginning. Patreon.com/roundrockpod. Buy our t-shirts, call us on the phone.
Oh, I'll be doing Don't Tell Comedy in Oakland on 420. So that's... smoke them up!
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. Where? On 3/5/24, I tweeted, waited 2 hours to do a 100-lap iRacing race at Phoenix. Started fifth. Didn't make it to the start/finish line before being taken out. 43 minutes of required damage repair. Cool. Good night. Sean, did you write a song?
No, I didn't this time, Joey.
Well, what song would you like to hear, Sean?
Let's play. Give me just 1 second. Let's play the song Geeks of the Industry.
Great. Here's that right now.
I play a lot of chess, not in real life. I've actually, you know, a lot of people have told me you should play chess because you'll be great. I've never played chess, but in my mind, in theory, I feel like I play chess on the floor.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was LeBron talking about chess again. Trust the process.
Sorry.
And shut it down. Process. Let's all don't bet on Jonte Porter.
Don't.
Even if you're Jonte Porter.
Well, we're the geeks of the industry, and we only watch basketball on Synergy. The geeks of the industry, and we always view the broadcasters on TNT. The Athletic does it, ESPN does it. Basketball analysis is buzzing, not a statistician, but I calculate, and like Danny and Nate, I'm gonna evaluate. So give me the numbers, I'll beat the cap guy, rubbing against your tax apron like Seth Partner. I'm giving you nylon calculus, and I'm charting the shots, logging every miss. Yes, I'm tracking the picks, I'm smacking the lips, and updating my spreadsheet. Projections are so hot that you'll be ripping off your budget. You should be the GM. Yeah, that's what that I'm dreaming, you're screaming. But it's not the trade machine, it's the Sloan, the conference, I'm trying. Ain't a flame war with Scout, with Brian. You know you're smart and he's dumb, and neither one of you can take Candace Parker one-on-one. Cause we're the geeks of the industry, and we only watch basketball on Synergy. The geeks of the industry, and we always meet the broadcasters on TNT. See a scout, scouting. I got the blocks of counting. And the player that you're watching is in front of you, pulling up from long range and he's bricking off the front rim. Booyah, you're looking at his box score line. He looks just like Reggie Jackson, Mr. October. Not the Reggie with the baseball career, but the disappointing Pistons guard, like Luke Kennard. Alright, this ain't hard. You're sitting on the couch with your calculator gripped in your hand. You think your hot take is gonna land. Do you A, take a look at his ability, B, your calculator's win probability, C, you post a tweet about his game? Well, the answer is all three, but he searches his name. You quote tweet, quickly retreating. J.E. Skeets is telling you that you're full of shit. Your take is confrontational. You're bobbing and crocobbing and you're getting ratioed, and then you check out his player similarities, which is cool, but it says he's like the new Yan Vesely. Haters are getting madder, you don't want them to meme you. In this situation, what do you do? A, you say it's just your first impression. B, you hit him with another regression. C, you Photoshop it scoring on a chair. And D is what I do, and yeah, it's unfair. I cherry pick all the stats that make him look the worst against his peers. Now all the casuals disappear. Hide the math right behind a Patreon paywall. And now the other nerds will all go AWOL. Getting back to my small ball. Whip out the shot charts and the cap hits. Then I go through all the CBA rules. When base your compensation has to hit the salary floor. Get to extra second round picks. Baby sign each one more. I want him and dine him. Text with Rich Kleiman. After the game, check my mentions and search my name. And before anybody gets a chance to tweet, I say, yo, don't say nothing. I guess I'm just a geek, cause we're the geeks of the industry. You a freak, Till. Yo, you worse, Windy B. The geeks of the industry. And we always mute the broadcasters on TNT.